Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another live edition of Can We Talk Radio. I am your host, Raz Williams, bringing you Can We Talk Radio every other Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Well, guys, we have a great show lineup for you tonight. We're going to be talking about understanding how to walk by faith. And for those of you not new to the show, you know that I'm pretty big on faith. And why is because it's the only way God instructs us to live. By faith, the just shall live by faith, Habakkuk 2:4. But what is faith? Do we really understand what it means, especially in today's world? I mean, I strongly believe that we're at the beginning of the end times, the time of tribulation that is marked in the book of Revelations. And for those of us who call ourselves believers of the Most or children of the Most High God, it's imperative, life-saving, for us to learn and understand how to walk and live in the realm of faith. I want to go ahead and introduce my co-host for this evening, Minister Pamela Stewart from Sacramento, California. Minister Stewart is a full-time physical therapist, the mother of two, an avid scholar of eschatology, which is the study of the end times, and she's also a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Minister Pamela Stewart, how are you, and what do you think of tonight's topic?
Hi. Good evening, Raz. I'm blessed. I'm doing well. I think today's topic is really good because in this day and hour, faith is something that we all need to have, we need to be stronger in, and I believe this is going to be a good topic for your listeners because a lot of times when we're walking with the Lord, sometimes we're not quite sure what's required of us and how to stay strong and rooted, and I believe this topic is going to help your listeners to learn some techniques and strategies and how to not just, be a one that goes to church, but one that can be a doer of the word as well. And that's what faith is. Faith, it's going to help us to know how to trust God and how to lean on him and how to totally depend on him. And sometimes, in the natural sense, we do tend to want to depend on our family members, our friends, things like that in the natural. But I also believe that's good, but trusting in God is the ultimate for us. And I think that we need to talk about faith, especially in this hour where there's tragedy, where there's, chaos, where you see the world going through a change. And, a lot of us are preparing, looking for Christ to return. So I think the faith topic is very good in this hour, in this season. So I think it's going to be really good to reach out to have your listeners call in and discuss faith.
Amen. Absolutely. Okay, guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, you have a question or comment, the number to call is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. You can also listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/Raz, R-A-Z-W-I-L-L. and that will allow you to listen on your browser or on your phone. Well, a few months ago, I was listening to some various videos on YouTube, and I stumbled on a video titled God's Timing. And, man, I was blown away by the minister's level of revelation and her ability to hear from God. And I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, "Sir, can I have this minister on the radio show to give us a living word?" And he said, "By all means." And so I want to go ahead and introduce, as our special guest on tonight, Minister Teresa Horns. She's a pastor's wife, a mother, and an author of the book titled Silly Woman, That Ain't Your Husband. She has been serving God for over 20 years, and she currently ministers to women in the body of Christ on her YouTube channel and Facebook page. Minister Teresa, it is a pleasure to have you on Can We Talk. How are you, man?
I'm doing fine, Raz. God bless you, everybody.
Amen. And Minister Horns, what do you think of tonight's topic? And how important do you think it is to truly grasp the reality of walking and living by faith?
I think that tonight's topic is an awesome topic because of the times that we are living in. You know, one of the greatest lessons that my former pastor taught me, she would always say to me, "Teresa, you cannot be moved by what you feel, what you think, and what you see. You got to be moved by faith. You got to be moved by the Spirit of God." So with all that's going on, we see all the tragedies that's going on in the news and the things that we're facing personally in our own lives and in the lives of our family and friends, this message is a timely topic in the name of Jesus. And I think
Amen.
That the listeners are going to be blessed.
Amen. I can tell it's one of those nights. I can feel it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Jesus.
Well, you know, guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about understanding how it is to walk by faith. And, Minister Teresa Horns agreed to come on the show. She was led by the Lord. And I'm going to allow her to bless us for the next 20 to 30 minutes and just really speak to our listeners about what it means to walk by faith. Minister Horn, I'll let you have the floor for the next 30 minutes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. When you mentioned the topic for the show, you know, I begin to, you know, God, you know, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to minister to your people? Because you know what they need to hear, you know. And what God spoke to my spirit was that he took me to the book of Hebrews 11 in the Bible. And he spoke to my spirit and he said, "Real faith, Teresa, is having an ear to hear, and a spirit to receive, and a willingness to obey in these last days." And if you look in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, all of the heroes of faith had these three things in common. They heard, they received what God said by his spirit, and they obeyed him. And when you think about Noah heard the warning from God that he was going to destroy the earth by a flood. And he received that warning in his spirit, even though a flood had never taken place. And he obeyed God by building the ark to God's specifications. And even though he was probably ridiculed, he was probably reproached for building the ark, you know, he did what God told him to do, and he built it by faith. And his faith is what kept him alive. See, we're living in a time where a terrorist attack can happen at any time, any place, or to anyone. And this is why we have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and walk by faith. Because when God wake you up one morning and say, "Don't send your children to school today," that will spare their lives, just like it spared Noah and his family from being killed in the flood. I remember when I worked at NASA years ago, and not during the time of 9/11, when 9/11 happened, and I had a coworker who came back that Monday morning after the 9/11 attack, and she shared a testimony of a church member who worked at the Pentagon that morning, you know, worked at the Pentagon. And when he woke up that morning, God told him not to go to work. But he thought, oh, I'm just, you know, that's just my flesh. That's just me. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and go to work. Well, he went to work, and once he got to work, God said to him, go home. Go home. And so he ignored it a second time. God gave him a sterner warning a few minutes later. So he went to his boss, and he told his boss, I got to go home. I have a family emergency. By the time he got back home, the plane had hit the Pentagon in the exact section where he worked at. And God spared his life because he obeyed him. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
And so it's important in the name of Jesus, you know, to real faith, you know, and having understanding faith is being able to hear from God and to receive what he's saying and to obey him. The same thing with Moses. Moses heard the voice of God through the burning bush with orders to go to Egypt and command Pharaoh to let his people go. And he received the word of the Lord in his spirit, you know. And so, mind you, you know, Moses, you know, he made all types of excuses, you know, why he couldn't go, why he couldn't step out by faith and go. But God reassured him that I'm with you. I'm going to be with you. So you go ahead and you go by faith. And you do what it is that I had want you to do, you know? And that's what we have to understand in this time. We have to walk by faith. We have to be sensitive to God's spirit in the name of Jesus, to hearing his voice. And we have to, most importantly, obey him once we hear his voice. That's walking by faith, you know? And I can remember a time. A few years ago, my children were little, and I was going to take them to the movies to see a movie. And we get on the subway train, and the Lord speaks to me and says, do not go to Pentagon City. That's where I wanted to go to the movies, to take the kids. And I said to God, God, I want to go to Pentagon City. He said, no, I want you to go to Union Station. Don't get off this train. And I said, why, God? He wouldn't say why. But being in my flesh, I was mad. I was fussing with him. But I obeyed him and went to Union Station. When I got to Union Station, I had to go to the bathroom all of a sudden. And when I walked in the bathroom, there was a young Indian woman laying on the floor with her mother leaning over her. And so there were a bunch of people. It was really crowded. They were walking over her and stepping over her, and no one bent down or stooped down to see what was wrong. Or no one went to go get help. And so I tapped the mother on the shoulder, and I told her to go get some type of help, police, somebody, and I'll stay here with her daughter. And God began to speak to me, and he said, pray in the spirit. And so I just began to pray in the spirit in the bathroom over this young woman. And people were still walking over us, stepping over us, washing their hands, going out the door, going into the stall to use the bathroom. And I just kept praying. She was cold. I touched her, my head. Well, God said, lay your hand on her. And she was cold. And I just kept praying in the spirit. And I know people were looking at me strange and looking at me crazy. But the young woman began to move. She began to move, and she began to stir. And then she was able to kind of sit up. And then she wanted to get up. And then I helped her get up. And when she got up, she began to throw up. And so I helped her to the sink. And by the time her mother came back, she was standing up herself, normal, like nothing had never happened. And no one ever said anything. Do you need help? Do you need this? Do you need it? Can I call the ambulance? Do I need to get emergency? Nothing. And when her mother came in and she saw her, she looked at me like she saw a ghost. And then she hugged her daughter, and she hugged me, and she said, she didn't say anything. She hugged me, and I went. She was ready to leave with her daughter, and I grabbed her hand, and I said, don't take her back out in the heat. It's too hot. And I don't know if she understood me or not, but she just shook her head, and she went on out the door. See, this is what living by faith is about, being able to hear God when he speaks to you and having that spirit to obey him when he speaks so that he can get the glory. You know what I'm saying? Obeying God in the name of Jesus and walking in faith protects you. It keeps you safe, you know? And so I'm just encouraged. You know, I'm kind of nervous, but I'm just encouraged, you know, even as I'm speaking in the name of Jesus. You know,
Amen.
Even God, you know, with Abraham, you know, as we talk about these heroes of faith and believing God, and what faith really is, even, you know, Abraham was asked by God to take his only son, you know, and who he loved dearly, and to sacrifice him on the altar. And Abraham obeyed him. You know? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And when Abraham was about to take the knife and slay his only son, God stayed his hand and told Abraham, don't do it. Don't hurt the boy. You know, now I know in the name of Jesus that you respect me, that you fear me in the name of Jesus, you know. And God blessed him because of that faith. He blessed him because of that faith. And many of you out here and listening, and many of you ladies who are listening to this broadcast, God has asked you to step out in faith and to cut off ungodly men that you're in a relationship with, but you haven't because you don't have the faith enough to believe that God will give you a Holy Ghost-filled man after his own heart. God is able in the name of Jesus. He's faithful in the name of Jesus. He wants you to step out on faith. This is living by faith every day. In the name of Jesus, God will do things and say things to us that will test and try our faith, which will cause us to grow in him, which will cause us to trust in him more, which will cause us to believe in him more, and which will cause us to grow spiritually stronger day by day. I remember during my single season, I went to church, and the pastor was preaching, and I was, you know, believing God for a husband. And the pastor stopped preaching and he just jumped off topic. And he said, God just spoke to my spirit. And he said that there is somebody in here that have a box of love letters at the top left-hand side of their closet. And if you would just get those love letters and take them and throw them away, God can proceed to move in that area of you receiving your husband. And I knew he was talking to me. I heard what he said. I received what he said by the Spirit. And when I got home, I obeyed him. And I got those letters out, and I took them, and I threw them out in the garbage in the trash can outside. You know? And even thinking about it now, who would have thought that a box of love letters could be a hindrance to me receiving what God wanted for my life, or me receiving what God had for me. But God wanted me to walk, step out on faith and believe him. You know, it took some faith to throw away them them love letters in the name of Jesus, them old love letters in the name of Jesus. You know, it takes faith to believe God in the name of Jesus. You know, even as I think about Samuel, you know, as a young boy, you know, his one of the, another one of the heroes of faith, and him hearing from God as a young boy to give Eli, the priest, a word from God. You know, Samuel heard God. He received what the word God spoke concerning Eli in his spirit, and he obeyed God and told Eli exactly, you know, what God told him to say, you know. And I just wanted to read that to you, what God had Eli to say, 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 through 14. He told Samuel to tell Eli, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will ring. On that day I will carry out against Eli everything that I have spoken concerning his house, his family, from beginning to end. Now I've told him that I'm about to judge his house forever for the sinful behavior which he knew was happening, because his sons were bringing a curse on themselves, dishonoring and blaspheming God, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the sinful behavior of Eli's house, his family, shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." You know, it takes faith to step out and give a hard word to someone that God has dealt with you about in their your prayer time, and in your or through a dream, to warn them, you know. And just like, you know, some of you may have a word in your spirit that God gave you to give someone for a while now. You know, you need to give it to them in the spirit of humility and in the spirit of love, without fear of rejection or fear of what they think or fear of what they're going to say. You know, we have to step out in faith. And this is what I believe, that, you know, God just spoke to my spirit to just share what understanding what faith is really about. It's about hearing God. It's about receiving what he says in your spirit, and it's about obeying him. And it takes faith to do this. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. You know, and even when we think about David, you know, that was a major faith walk for him. You know, he received the word of the Lord from Samuel, the prophet, that he would be king over Israel, you know. And after he killed Goliath, all hell broke loose in his life. You know, some of us have received the word from the Lord, and all hell has broke loose in our life, you know. And after he killed Goliath, you know, Saul became jealous of him and set out to kill him and destroy him, and he had to go on the run, and Saul gave David's wife, Michal, to another man, and he had to, again, go on the run, and he couldn't go into any town without being told, without Saul being told that he was there. Saul scandalized his name so that nobody would help him. He couldn't go to the house of the Lord to give a sacrifice. He had to live in the wilderness, you know. And anybody on the outside looking in at David's life would have thought that God had forsaken him, would have thought that God just threw him by the wayside or that God had cursed him. But God was definitely with David. He was with David, protecting him, always keeping Saul a distance away from him, and speaking words of encouragement to his spirit, which in the end he ended up writing down, and they've now become the book of Psalms to us, you know, where we can go and get encouragement, you know, when things are not going right in our life or when our faith is shaky. You know, when we're being persecuted or when we are being reproached by men or when we're being fought in the spirit, you know, we can go to these Psalms in the name of Jesus to strengthen and encourage our faith in the Lord. And so eventually, we all know that David became King of Israel in the name of Jesus, and we praise God for that. Hallelujah. But it was his faith, you know. He believed God. He trusted in God in the name of Jesus. He encouraged himself in the Lord when he was down, when he was weak, when he was feeling like he could not go on, in the name of Jesus. And that's what we have to do in these last and evil days. We have to become more sensitive to God's spirit. And we have to be willing to receive what God is saying, even if it is a rebuke, you know, or even if it is he tells us to go a different way, you know, home than what we normally do, you know, even if he does tell us to give this or give that. You know, we have to obey God by faith because it's just not helping us. It's going to be a blessing to somebody else. And again, that makes us seek God more. That makes us pray to God more. That makes us want to be in his presence more, want to grow in him more. And so just thank God in the name of Jesus, you know, for that. And I just thank God for that. And just, like, basically that's what, like, God just put in my spirit, Raz.
Amen.
I know it's,
amen.
That's just what he put in my spirit to say.
Amen. Well, you know, Minister Teresa, you said a lot of important things, and I want to go into some questions so we can really digest and really break down understanding how to walk by faith. And so, guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, the number to call is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Our topic for tonight is understanding how to walk by faith with special guest, Minister Teresa Horns. So, Minister Pamela, listen, you know, Minister Horn said a lot of key things, and so the main thing of what I take from what she said was that we have two choices: we either walk by faith or walk according to the five senses. Can you? Mm. What's the what is the difference?
Wow, I'm just like, I'm so blessed by what you just said, everything you just said, because as I'm listening to her minister, you know, you can tell that she's a seeker of God. You're walking by faith because you have a relationship with him, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, okay? So just the words that you were speaking and the knowledge of the characters in the Bible and how God dealt with them, you know, it's the word of God that strengthens our soul and our spirit. Because, you know, we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And in our soul where our emotions, you know, a lot of times people don't realize that your emotions, you know, they will lean more toward their emotions than leaning toward what the spirit man can get, how it strengthens, how God strengthens our spirit man. But if you're not in the word, then your spirit man is not, how can you gain strength if you're not in God's word? If you're looking to the world, or, you know, I'm just so blessed because everything you were saying is based on the word of God. And it's the word of God that's going to help us to stand in these last and evil days. You know, when you're walking in the spirit and you're in tune to what Holy Spirit is saying, and you kept emphasizing that, the Holy Spirit. And that's where a lot of people that are, you know, going to church, if they're not doing church at home, so to speak, like, you know, taking the word in, you know, like it's like going to school. You got to, you know, study at home. You got to do your homework. You got to, you know, that's how we grow. And we gain strength through reading the word. And I could tell my spirit was just being blessed because my spirit was agreeing with everything that you said. And see, when the scriptures do say, how can two walk together unless they agree? And if I go to church, but I don't take time to meditate on the word or spend time with God, how is my spirit going to connect with what your spirit is saying? Okay, because I'm not growing in the word of God. And once you get in the word of God, that's what's going to help build our faith, you know. And, you know, so I was really blessed by everything that you were saying. Joseph is one of the ones that was in my heart that I was thinking about. Amen. Before you started talking about the characters. But when you said Noah, I knew right there that I was going to be blessed by this topic tonight, because I started to read the Bible from the very beginning, and the last chapter I left off was like Genesis 9, where Noah had just got, you know, he just got out the ark, and now he has to walk by faith because now the water's receding, and God is just speaking to him, telling him that, you know, the animals, that he would allow them to, you know, the animals, and he would allow them to eat the animals. But that's where I left off. You know, I got to pick it up at 9 and go into 10. But when you start talking about Noah, that was the perfect example, because had he not listened to God, him and his family would have perished. So when you say we walk not by, you know, we walk by faith, that Noah walked by faith. He believed. He listened to the voice of God. And if people are not, you know, drawing nigh to God, they're not going to be able to discern his voice. That example you gave with the man not going to work, that really blessed me. And you know, and God, he went out of his way to get this man's attention. That goes to show that man had a relationship, because the third time God shook him again and said, look, do not go to work. You know, and another thing I think about too is the blood. You know, when we understand, see, there's a lot of things, you know, when we go to church, you know, the word of God is what's going to help us to stand. And a lot of people don't even really understand how powerful the blood, just having a born again experience and understanding blood is what covers us. People don't understand the blood is not only just a covering, but it gets in between us and Satan. Amen. And it covers us, you know. And a lot of people don't really understand the power of the blood. We need the blood. The blood is like the light. It's the light. It's the life, you know, and there's power in that blood. But then there's also death and disease in the blood, too. That's why God gives us instruction about not eating certain things because of, you know, the blood. But if people were to get into the Word of God and to study the Word of God, it'll help them to draw nigh to God, and it will also understand the power of the blood and how it separates us, because we do need to have that born-again experience. We do need to be born again. We need to have that covering of the blood. And that's why I really love doing God, you know, going to church and praising and worshiping God with the old hymns, with the singing of those old hymns, because they take us right into the presence of God. And, you know, a lot of some of the churches, you know, they're not really going through, they're not worshiping God the old school way. It seems like it's a new, I don't know, it's just different. It's not the same as calling on the blood of Jesus. It's like people don't understand that calling on the blood of Jesus and calling on the Spirit of the Lord to come in and minister to us, to actually hear his voice, is where we really get our direction from.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and that's why I was just so blessed by everything that you were saying, because, you know, this is what we need to stand in these last days. We need to be able to hear the voice of God, not what our flesh is saying, not what we think, not what somebody else is telling us. But we need sound, we need instructions from God himself, and he will speak to us if we allow him. If we seek his faith, he will speak to us directly, you know. And your testimonies, that's what people need to hear, are those testimonies.
Yes.
I was thinking about a testimony I was telling Raz about on my job. I believe the Holy Spirit was dealing with me about leaving L.A., Pasadena, and moving back north, you know, toward closer to Sacramento, because my parents are out this way. But, you know, as we're, you know, me and Raz have been studying end time ministry through our Revelation class. And, you know, sometimes we don't want to just move, you know, we want to know that when we do something that God is giving us instruction. And so the Holy Spirit had been dealing with me about moving back. And finally it got to a point where he had to show me in a dream. So then I started to realize, okay, God really wants me to move back, you know, and I love Pasadena. And I was like, okay, Lord, then this is really you. You are really instructing me to move back. So I got up, packed my things up 2 days after Christmas, and I moved back to Northern California. And, you know, when you move, you know, you're taking a new job. You got to readjust to new people and to a new environment and all that. So I had to really step out on faith. So I got the full-time job. And then just in the last 3 weeks, our hours were being cut, you know. So instead of getting that 8 hours, I started getting like maybe 6 hours, 7 hours. It's been fluctuating. And, you know, working as a therapist, you know, you really, your hours are predicated on how many patients you have for that day. So the therapists there were saying, oh, well, you know, you need to get into doing some home health and get a part-time job, and that will supplement your hours until things pick up, until we get more patients. And the interesting thing is that these particular therapists work home health, but none of them would give me a phone number to get, you know, to the link to get, you know, to get the part-time work. So as I just remained calm and, you know, I could feel, you know, in my flesh, you know, I started to feel a little stressful. And I said, Lord, now I know you brought me out here, and you know, you said you would supply my every need according to your riches and glory. So I have to trust you. And so I just get into my word. I come home from work and I get into my word and I pray and I'm seeking the face of God. And one of our aides came and gave me this particular phone number and said, you know, here's a contact. And so 2 days had gone by, and I was standing outside of and I didn't call the contact number. I just, you know, kept just going to work, and I was standing outside of a patient's room, and one of my patients was being discharged home that day, and so a lady came in to talk to her about home health, and I overheard her mention the name of the company of this phone number that I had been given. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a closed mouth doesn't get fed, so when I heard her mention the name, you know, I opened my mouth and I said, you know, this particular company that you're working for, I was just given the phone number to contact this particular company. And mind you, now my therapist coworkers, all of them have this number, could have easily given it to me 3 weeks ago. But when the lady and I made the connection, she said, you know what, I'm going to call the owner directly and connect you to the owner of the company. And just in that instant, she gave me the number. She said, here, you call her. We need you right now. We're in desperate need of help. And, you know, God showed me. He showed me that I will supply your needs.
Mm-hmm.
I am your source. And when I called the lady, she told me that was it. That was the major connection that I needed. And the Lord was showing me that, you know, he will come through.
That's right.
For us in a time of need. And that really, that increased my faith right there, knowing that God said, I will supply every need that you have. And
right.
And so when the therapists actually see that I'm working for the same company that they're working for, it's not going to be by them, because the scripture says not by might nor by power, but by the yes. And you know, and I'm just so thankful that God showed me that I am your source of strength. I will connect you.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it. And I ended up meeting with the lady, the owner. We sat down, we talked on the phone, and I met her at Starbucks. And she told me just how important it was that they needed a therapist. She said, this timing couldn't have been better. So all I did was just wait on God. And he connected me through to the source of who I needed to get these extra hours with, because my supervisor didn't want me to quit. She just wanted me to get another job to supplement, you know, my income.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just rejoicing and I'm just giving praise to God, because that's how he works.
Yeah.
He's a mighty God in the time of, he will come through. And that's why I really admire how Job, when you were going through the different characters in the Bible, and then I started thinking about Joseph and how Joseph had to wait on God. Joseph had to wait on God, trust God when Potiphar's
come
wife accused him. And you start talking about single women. And see, you know, that blessed my spirit, because the Lord had been dealing with me, just wait on me. Wait on me. You can be in the supermarket and the man of God can walk up to you.
That's right.
And I know I desire a man of God, but I want a man of God that's strong in his faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, strong in the Lord. But Joseph had to wait on God. And when he was in the prison, he had to wait on God. He kept asking for help. He did ask the baker. Yes, and when the cupbearer got out, it took a year, maybe a year before the man even brought his name before Pharaoh. You know, and that's why I think about Joseph and how he stayed patient, he stayed faithful, he didn't get out of his flesh and start trying to do it himself. He had to wait on God. And you know, I've been listening to Tony Evans. He has a series on Joseph, and I listened to it on my way to work, and he said he was talking about blessed are those who are suffering for righteousness, who are being persecuted and going through tests and trials for righteousness' sake, you know, because when our light is shining, that's when the enemy comes and attacks us the most. And I could tell through all the tests and trials that I've been going through, it's because of the light, our light. You know, the enemy cannot stand our light, and you know, but thank God for the blood of Jesus, because it's
absolutely
the blood that's covering us. Satan cannot touch us. He has to get permission from God. He only can do certain things to us. And I notice the tests and trials are coming because of our light that is shining. And you know, and I was thinking about the scripture in Revelations 12, chapter 11, verse 11, and it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Hallelujah.
Then it goes on to say, and they love not their lives unto death. And we may have to have, we're going to need that faith in this last day, because we may have to have the courage to stand in these last days. We may be tested.
That's right.
You know, up until death, like the, those men shot that little girl, they asked her if she was of a Muslim faith or if she was a Christian. And as soon as she opened her mouth and said that she was a Christian, they shot her in the head. So we have to have a strong faith to stand in these last days. And that's where people are really going to be tested. If they don't have the word in them, it's going to be hard for them to stand. And they may come to a to that crossword where they have to, you know, take the mark of the beast or taste death. And that may be, you know, the time where we really need to have the faith to stand on the word of God. And if you don't have that word in you, people are going to become fearful. They're going to be afraid. They're not going to know God, like on a personal level. You got to know him on a personal level. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to stand. So I just want to say, woman of God, you bless me.
Amen.
And I'm sure the listeners, you bless them too.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, if you're tuning in, we're talking about understanding how to walk by faith. Special guest, Minister Teresa Horn and Minister Pamela Stewart. You know, guys, as you guys were talking, I wanted to get into some quick areas real quick. And wanted to talk about understanding. You know, we talked about what faith is. And, you know, now I want to talk about some enemies to our faith. What causes us not to have faith? What hinders us from believing in God? And truly, there's a scripture that I wanted to quickly read, and it's Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and it's when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and the enemy appeared to him, and he responded to the enemy. It is written, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And this is why this is important, because I heard a TV evangelist was saying, faith is acting like something is so, even when it isn't so, until it becomes so. And I was like, the Holy Spirit said, that's not, I said that, you know, that was not it. And this chapter 4, verse 4 just answers the question. If God said it, it is yes. If God wrote it, it is yes. If he revealed it to you, it is yes. So faith is pretty much having, believing in what God has said. So if I go out there and say, oh, I believe I'm going to meet a purple cow, is that faith? It's deception. You see what I'm saying? So we got to be careful of really understanding what true faith is. It's believing God at his word.
Amen.
Believing God at his word. God is not a man that should lie. And so I just want to quickly go into some areas where, you know, the areas that could challenge our faith. And one of the areas that I highlighted is that we first must understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. And I'm going to read Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so a lack of understanding of what it means to be a new creature hinders our faith life. You know, many of us, we don't realize that there are, that we're actually new creatures. You know, we think that we're saved and God forgave our sins, but that's as far as it goes. And there's so much more to becoming a new creature. God has imputed into us his own nature. The very life, that the very power that created this whole universe is within us. The very the very Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us. And so we're joint heirs, we know, of Christ. And so that knowing and understanding that revelation, that truth, undergirds our faith. Pamela, what's your comment on that?
Well, I think of the scripture, Luke, I think it's Luke 10. It's in Luke 10, verse 19. It says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And, you know, God will give us the... See, the anointing is what breaks every yoke. Just like when the sister went in there and prayed for the young lady and she got up, you know, you were able to bind up the enemy. You were able to speak over that young girl's life. And so God has given us a power and anointing, but we have to know how to take authority over the enemy. When the enemy comes in like a flood, we got to know how to stand on the word of truth and the word of God and speak the word of God. And that's what's going to help deliver us. We got to know that we've been given power to to tread over scorpions and serpents, and they can't bite us. They can't overtake us. And so, you know, but if you're not in the will of God, how can you walk in that authority? You can forfeit your authority if you're not walking in the will of God. So that's what I think about it, are the when the enemy comes in to attack us, and he's going to continue to attack us. But if we can quench every fiery dart of the enemy, how? By putting on the full armor of God, walking by faith, and knowing that the power of God is with us. And so the enemy cannot, we can withstand, we can stand on the promises of God, knowing that the enemy cannot overtake us if we know how to stand on the word of God and take authority over him when he sends out his demons to come and attack us.
Right.
Taking
authority,
absolutely.
You got to take authority. You got to know how
Amen.
To take authority and speak that word over the
Amen.
Enemy.
Okay, so my point number two is the enemy of our faith number two is failure to understand righteousness. And I want to read Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. And so, you know, 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And therefore by the new birth we become a righteous new creature. So we got to understand that, you know, through the cleansing blood of Christ Jesus, when we became born again, He made us righteous, a righteous new creature. Now we are sons and daughters of God, as though we have never sinned, and we can stand in God's presence without sin consciousness, without any feelings of guilt or shame. We don't have to be tongue tied because of fear. We can come into God's presence boldly because we belong there. And so, Minister Horns, what do you think about my comment?
That is so true. You know, we because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, His strength is established in us, and so we can stand in faith, you know, believing and knowing in the name of Jesus that no matter what we go through, God is going to be there. And that's one of the things that when we go through, when our faith is tested, automatically think that God has left us or he has abandoned us or he doesn't love us anymore, you know. But God said that he would be with us always, even until the end of the age, and that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So just because our faith is being tried and is being tested and we're being stretched and we're on the potter's wheel and God is molding us and making us, God loves us and he's going to be there with us through whatever it is that we are facing, and he's going to make a way for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I wanted to quickly go over a few more areas that the Lord wanted me to talk about, and I want to talk about human reasoning in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Using, and that's this scripture, using too much human reasoning and calculating things based upon what you can see, based upon the five senses, what we see, touch, feel, taste. All these five senses, can hinder you receiving what God is trying to tell you, and it will definitely hinder your faith. Point number two, low spiritual investment, Romans 10:17. Your faith life grows based upon the amount of word investment you make in your spirit.
Yes,
anything that will distract you from spending time in the study of the word of God will hinder you and only cripple you when the enemy attacks. Point number three is this is a very important point, is having a myopic view of God's ability. I won't read the scripture, but I want to mention the scriptures, Psalms 24:1-2 and Romans 4:21. When you don't understand the ability of God and the power in the name of Christ Yeshua, Jesus, it's going to be difficult for us to believe that when we pray, God has the ability to do what he said he could do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very important. And Proverbs 4:23-24. And this is another point I wanted to mention about having a perverse tongue. when you lie a lot and are not truthful, it affects your faith life because you assume God is like you. And when you don't keep your word, your subconscious tells you that God also won't keep his word. And so if the Bible says that your confession is very important when you speak, when you make a confession before the Lord. So if you don't believe your own self, then how, where's the power to your faith, of your belief? And so that's very important to make sure that you become a man of your word and do what you say you do, as our Father does what he says he's going to do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Can I say?
Amen. Go ahead, Monica.
Okay. When you said make a spiritual investment in yourself, and that's one of the things that I'm noticing that a lot of men and women of God are not doing today. You know, and they're not making that spiritual investment in themselves by spending time reading the word, spending time in communion with God, you know what I'm saying? And they're not, like, for me, you know, when I tell the young women or women that I that write me through Facebook or through email, if they're having a certain problem in their life or they're going through a certain thing, I tell them, whatever you're dealing with, go into the Word of God, okay, and look up the scriptures on what you're dealing with. Okay, so say, for instance, that you're believing God to be married. Go look up all the scriptures on marriage and read what they say and meditate on them. And because the scripture says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so when you read that, you're taking that word in your heart and it's increasing in your spirit, man, and it's increasing your faith. So whereas the enemy comes and tells you, oh, you're not going to never get married, or you're not going, no man is going to ever love you, you know, or you're not going to ever this. You have the word of God in you that says that's not true. You know, that the scripture says that it is not good for man to be alone. So when the enemy comes with that, you can say by faith in the name of Jesus, Satan, God said that it is not good for man to be alone. So I know that God has somebody for me. You understand what I'm saying? If you're sick in your body, and that's how your faith is increased, and that's how you grow in God. And if you're sick in your body, you know, you look up the scriptures that gives you the word of God on what he says about healing. And you study them and you hide them in your heart, even if you only know two. That Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. If you know that, that's enough. So when the enemy is attacking your body, you can speak that over your body despite the pain that's going on.
And that's important, woman of God. And I want to quickly talk about that because, you know, the doctor may give you a report that, which is a fact, that you have... You have cancer, you have this, you have that. But what we have to understand is that God's the word of God is the highest level of reality. There's no other reality higher than the word of God. And so the reality of what the doctor is saying is temporal. It is subject to change. So when you pronounce the word of God, which is the truth, the highest level of reality, over the temporal reality, it crushes that temporal reality, and God's reality remains and it stays. And so we have to understand that God, what God says, if God said it, that settles it. It's complete, and it cannot be challenged by any. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care if the doctor takes your heart out of your chest and throws it against the wall. If God says you ain't gonna die, you are not gonna die. And so we have to understand that God, and this is why God said that. Without faith, it's impossible to please me.
Yes.
Why is he saying that? He's saying that I'm not pleased when you live beneath the truth. You're believing anything that's not for me, anything that's not my word, it's a lie.
Oh, my God. Raz, I just read a scripture. I can't remember where it's at. but it was, I can't even think of the king that it was, but he had a condition where he got sick in his feet got diseased. And his feet got diseased, and he only listened to what the doctors had to say. He didn't seek God. He didn't seek, you know, he didn't go to the prophet or call on the prophet to ask, what is the word of the Lord concerning my condition? And the scripture said because he did not seek God, because he didn't ask God, a year later he died of that very thing, of that disease in his feet. Because he only believed the doctor's report.
Jesus, man, you know, and woman of God, that's very important. You know, walking according to the five senses of what people say, it's going to get you killed. In this
that's
world
right.
we live in, it's going to get you killed real fast. And so, people of God who are listening, walk in truth. What is truth? Truth is the highest level of reality, the word of God. And so God is saying to us that I don't want you to walk in less than the truth. I don't want
right.
you walking in anything other than the highest level of reality, my word. I want you to walk in truth because in truth there is reality. Truth is what causes a thing to be.
Amen.
And if in other words, if there is no truth behind it, there is nothing to be. You know,
Amen.
So, I mean, you know, the truth is this, by his stripes you were healed. The truth
right.
is this, my God shall supply all my needs according to the rich and glory by Christ Jesus.
Raz, that was in 2 Chronicles, if somebody wants to read it for themselves. 2 Chronicles,
mm-hmm.
chapter 16, verse 12, and it was King Asa. Just in case somebody wants to read that.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Did you have a comment, Spam?
Yeah, I was just going to add to that, you know, when people speak into your life, you got to be careful to, you know, if it's not the spirit of truth, you have to be discerning of what they're trying to speak over you. And a lot of times, if people don't know, understand the word of God or understand the power of the tongue and the words that people are speaking over you, a lot of times when you're not paying attention to what people are speaking over you, you can allow someone to speak something over you that's you know, could be death or
mm-hmm.
or adversity. And I'm paying attention now when people are speaking to me to block whatever they're trying to speak over me. If it's not lining up with truth, the spirit of truth, I nip it and I don't receive it, and I'll speak the
mm-hmm.
word over myself. And I've found that that is a good witnessing tool, especially when people are speaking death and destruction over you. And you can tell when they are, because they'll walk up to you and say something, and you know your spirit is it doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't reject it right then
mm-hmm.
and there, then this thing can be spoken over you. And I know I've had to do that several times. So we really need to pay attention. And that's where walking in the Spirit comes in, knowing that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is in us, because he is the Spirit of truth. He is the Comforter, and he will let you discern. I had a young lady, I was limping, I pulled a muscle on my right calf, and a lady called me Chester. And I heard her, and I asked her, she walked by and she called me Chester, and I asked her, I said, what made you say that? You know, and she told me, oh, well, you know, in the cowboy movie Gunsmoke, there was a guy in there named Chester, and he was limping. And you look like Chester, limping. And I said, no. I said, that's when I started to speak to her over myself, that I am healed. I said, by his stripes, he said that I am healed, without, you know, making it a big confrontation. I said that I am healed. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I had to let her know, and I had to explain to her. You know, and she apologized, and I had explained to her, I said, there will come a day in your life where you may be laying on your bed sick, or you may need a blessing in your finances. I said, you cannot allow people to just walk up to you and
mm-hmm.
speak anything over you. So I use it as an opportunity to witness to her and let her know that you have to speak over your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to reject. You cannot allow people to walk up to you and just speak anything over you. And so, you know, and then I see, I found a scripture here too in John 14:17, where it says, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him, because it seeth him not, neither, let me see, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And see, it's so important that we know these, we discern these different spirits that people have on them when they come up and they approach us, because they will actually try to speak something over you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will, you know, if you're cough or people will say, oh, you have bronchitis, or you have this, you have that. You have to say, no, by his stripes, I am healed. You cannot allow people to just speak anything over you. You got to know, and you got to discern. You got to try the spirit by the spirit. You got to test it to see whether it be of God, because if not, people will try to drop this stuff on you and walk away.
Yeah.
So to the person who's not very spiritual, they'll say, well, it doesn't take all that. But no, it does, because you don't understand how the spirit realm works. By life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so that leads me to my next point, is that we have an enemy of faith, which is failure to hold fast to our confession of faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, Mark 11:23-24, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.
Yeah.
And that's Mark 11:23-24. Faith, look, people of God, faith is measured by our confession. Our usefulness in the Lord is measured by our confession. And, you know, eventually we become what we confess, whether good or bad. And, you know, there's a confession of our hearts and a confession of our lips. And when these two collide, when they harmonize, then we have a mighty prayer life. Devil, watch out. And so, you know, we really got to make sure that we don't. For example, I remember, you know, when I was working in construction and, you know, hey, Raz, take care. No, I don't take care. I cast my cares upon the Lord. Little things like that. It may seem trivial, but really the enemy has planted his suggestions in every fabric of culture, American culture. And so you really have to be led just to, you know, just to make sure that you don't be in agreement with things that are not based in truth, the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So, okay, so guys, if you're tuning in, you know, we're almost to the end of the show, but we're talking about understanding how to walk by faith. Special guests, Minister Teresa Horns and also Minister Pamela Stewart. We have a few calls on the line. I want to take a few calls here, and I'm going to go to area code 404. Hello, caller, do you have a question or comment? Caller from the 404 area code. All right, I guess they just want to listen in. All right, I guess that's pretty much who we got on the line here. All right, well, you know, let me go to my next point. So I want to talk about a lot of times, you know, when we operate in the five senses, we sometimes want to use our feelings or our senses to try to perceive God's presence in. And this may come as a shock or disappoint some people listening, but that's not the way it always is. And if you're believing unrealistically for a constant, tangible manifestation of his love and presence, you probably want to reconsider, you know, how you're viewing the Lord, because sometimes that's not always the way how he moves. And so, I mean, I've had some awesome encounters with the Lord, and doubtless I'll have more. But regardless of what wonderful experiences I've had, they're limited. You know, we've only scratched the surface or touched the tip of the iceberg of God's great love and awesomeness. And so we can't just be moved by looking for a type of feeling, a sensation. You know what I'm saying? That God is more than that. And so, Sister Pam, what do you think about my comment?
Well, you know, I think what fascinates me is to actually get into the presence of the Lord, to actually feel His presence, to spend time with Him, to talk to Him, to go into worship, you know, not waiting on going to church, to actually, you know, wait for someone to guide me or lead me, you know, to get into a relationship with Him when I do it on my own time, when I start to spend time with Him, it gives me a feeling of, wow, this is awesome to be able to feel His presence, you know, in my apartment, in my car, to actually go into, how should I say, a state of euphoric, because you feel the anointing, the presence of God. It's just an amazing feeling, and I don't know how people can live day by day without actually being able to, you know, grow and understand the power of God when it is around them. You know, that, I mean, that's just my personal.
Now, Pam, let me ask you a question. So if you can't feel God, does that mean He's not there? Because I believe there's times when God is silent. There's seasons where you may not sometimes be able to sense Him, but it doesn't mean He's not there. And so if we're looking for that, then we think God has forsaken us, and so that can hinder our faith. So I'm saying what I'm saying is because that God there's going to be seasons in our lives where God will speak to us more loudly than in other seasons He won't.
Mm-hmm.
Other seasons He'll seem like He's distant, but He's not. He's right there, but we can't use our human feelings to think because I had a tingling sensation or I felt the presence that He's not there. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
Walk by faith and believe that He's always with us. And that's what He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Well, I can say it has increased my faith. It has increased my faith to know that He's real. But you're right. There have been times when you may not, you know, feel the presence of God, but that's where your faith comes in. You have to know that He's there. You have to know that you, when you cast your burdens on Him and your cares, that He is there to take them. You know, that's what walking by faith is. Like the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, you know, some people will get discouraged because they don't feel a certain way or they don't feel His presence or, you know, but that's where your faith kicks in, by knowing that you are trusting that God is there with you, that He does hear you when you cry, when you call on Him. You know, when we're under attack, Raz, you and I know we go into prayer. And, you know, we believe that God is going to fight our battles for us because the Lord said that vengeance is His. So it may not be a certain feeling that we get, but when you actually see God move in that situation, what happens? Our faith grows even more so. You know, He shows us how He's dealing with certain situations when He does come through. It may not be right when you want Him, but He does come. And so for those that are listening that may wonder, well, why don't I feel the presence of God, or why am I not getting this, you know, energy? Just know, just trust Him. And when you spend time with Him and you talk to Him and you read His word, you're going to automatically, you know, grow in your faith. And, I mean, that's what's been helping me. You know, I just start singing to God and singing praises and talking to Him, and it's just rejuvenating. And reading the word is like, it's like He's speaking to you right off the pages of the book.
But that's also the reason why the word is so important. Because in times when you don't feel the word of God, the scripture is always in you to remind you. When you don't feel loved, the scripture says that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. So when you're feeling down and you're feeling low and you're feeling unloved and unwanted, if you have the word in you, the Holy Spirit will bring it up. Where the scripture says that I am accepted in the beloved. So that He'll bring that to your remembrance, and you can speak it out and say, you know what, Satan, you know what I'm saying? I am loved. The scripture says that I am accepted in the beloved. And that's the importance of the word and reading the word and meditating on the word, because the word increases your faith as well. Because like you said, Raz, you're not going to always feel God. You're not going to always feel goosebumps. You're not going to always, you know, but if you have the word in you, you know, you'll be able to make it through the trials and through the testings, you know, because the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance.
Amen. And that's very powerful, Minister Horns. You know, in these last days, you know, we got to stop being so lazy. A lot of us are lazy Christians because we don't want to read the Word. And it's only by reading the Word and having a relationship, right relationship with the Father, are you going to be able to avoid being hoodwinked, deceived by workers of iniquity, disguised as pastors and bishops, but their wolves in sheep's clothing. The Bible talks about this in these last days, that their numbers will increase. They will be deceiving many. And so, and this is not an indictment against the true men of God who love the Lord and truly are shepherding the flock as God instructs them to. But there's others that are hirelings and really don't have love for the people of God. It's a joke. It's nothing but a hustle for them. And so if you're not adept in the Word of God and you don't have a right relationship, you're always going to go to that man for your revelation. You're always going to go to that man for direction when you should be going to the Father. And he only confirms what the man is, what the shepherd is telling you. So, you know, it's so important in these last days that we're in that we really have to have an authentic, genuine, truthful relationship with the Lord on a daily, minute by minute, hour by hour basis.
Amen.
Well, I just want to encourage the listeners that when you're working, you can talk to God as you're working. You may not have time to sit down and read it, but you can read it before you get up, you know, go to work, and you can meditate on it. But you can just get into talking to God and you know, just giving him that time, you know, and it definitely does help you to grow closer to him throughout the day, meditating on the Word constantly and you know, just praising him for his goodness, you know, and I've found that helps me when I'm going through the day and I'm at work and I don't have time to pull out my little Bible or go in the bathroom and get a scripture. Sometimes I've had to do that too, but just walking down the hallways, you know, Lord, how would you use me? How could I, you know what I'm saying? Just constantly in fellowship with him. That's, you know, one of my ways that I've been able to stay strong in the Lord and stay close to him is just through constant, you know, communication with him, you know, and when I get home or in my car, then I can pull out my little Bible and read, you know. But you're right, Raz, people do need to spend time reading and studying the Word because that is the basis of standing on the promises of God, you know, and drawing you closer to him is knowing that Word. That's what's going to save you in the end, you know, but, you know, constant fellowship with him is one of the things that's really helped me, just worshiping and praising him and being thankful. And even when the tests and trials come, I think that's how we can stop the enemy through worship, you know, worshiping God.
Go ahead, Miss Orr.
Oh, I just wanted to share two things. When you think about understanding what real faith is also about helping one another, having that faith to help each other out as believers. And I just felt led to share these two testimonies because it might encourage somebody's soul. I remember one day I had went to the grocery store and I was putting away the groceries, and God spoke to me and said, "Your neighbor next door, Teresa, is hungry. What are you going to do about it?" Now, I didn't know, but I said, "Okay, God," and I start packing up food, me and my daughter, you know what I'm saying? I said, "Well, I guess I can do like four meals, you know what I'm saying, with the, you know, the meat, the vegetable, the side, something to drink, you know what I'm saying? I just put what God told me to put in there, and I told my daughter, take it next door. Just ring the bell, take it next door, and she did, and she came back. Well, it wasn't until, I think, a couple of months later, I was outside, and my next-door neighbor came to me, and we would just start talking, and she said, "I never thanked you for Shantice, that's my daughter, bringing the food to my house. Little did you know, or little did she know, we didn't have any food at all, And it was a couple of, she had like 3 days, I think she said, before she got her paycheck, you know. But what if I did not have a ear to hear? What if I didn't have the faith to step out, you know what I'm saying, or thought in my flesh, oh, I'm just tripping. That's not God. You know what I'm saying? Oh, she's not hungry. You know, she has a car. She has this. You know, she dresses real nice. You know what I'm saying? Thinking that, oh, well, no, I'm not going to get, but I obey God. And that's the importance of what real faith is. You know, another testimony, I'm just going to share real quickly because I know it's almost time to go, about my, when we've lived in North Carolina for 3 years, we came down here in 2013, I did not have a job, and my husband lost his job. So we moved with his sister down here. So we had to start all over, not knowing what we was going to, not knowing how we were going to get jobs, not knowing anything. You know what I'm saying? We were devastated. We didn't know what to do. I can remember I cried. My kids cried. You know, my husband Gerald trying to keep us strong. And we get down here, and my son happened to be walking to the mailbox. A lady had just moved in to the house next door to my sister-in-law. And she happened to see my son walking to the mailbox. And so she saw me, she knocked on my door, and she said, I was wondering if your son would like to attend my son's birthday party. I saw him walk into the mailbox yesterday. And she said, there is a light over your son. The glory of God sits on your son. And I said, well, sure, he can go with you. And they went, and he came back home safely. And then she invited us to church that Sunday. So we went to church, and we had a great time, and it blessed our souls, and we came home. Well, 2 days later, there was a knock at the door at 10 o'clock, and she said, I just came out of prayer, and I don't know your situation, but God told me you and your family need a place to live. And we said, we do. She said, do you think you can afford this amount of each month for rent? And we told her, yeah. Now, the other thing that she didn't know, my husband, he had just got a job like 4 days before. You know, he just started working. And we said, yeah. We stepped out by faith. We said, yeah. And she had just moved in the house next door less than a month. But she heard God. And she obeyed God. She said, I'm going to let you move in. I'm not going to ask for no deposit. She said, you just continue to pay the rent, you know what I'm saying, the next month. And that's how we end up living where we live now. So when the scriptures say the just shall live by faith, I'm a living witness that the just live by faith.
Amen. Guys, if you heard it, you heard Minister Horn, she said it, the just shall live by faith, go to work by faith, eat your food by faith, exercise by faith. You know, everything has to be by faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. You know, guys, you know, those of you who are going through situations right now, trust in God. Don't quit. Don't allow your emotions to get the better of you. Don't get nervous and anxious when your back's against the wall. God is not a man who should lie. He loves you. The Father loves you. He wants the best for you. Trust in him. Don't trust your situation, your circumstances. It's only temporary. It is subject to change. But align yourself with the truth of God's word. Align yourself with the highest level of reality. That's the word of God. And watch your situation change. We've all been through situations. Minister Horns, do you have any last encouraging words for the people of God that are listening right now?
Just keep pressing. Keep pressing in. You know, I know times are hard. I know times are difficult, but trust in God. Keep pressing in. Don't give up in the name of Jesus. And God is going to work it out for you. He's going to work it out for you. He did it for me. He did it for Raz. He did it for Minister Pam. He's going to work it out for you.
Amen. Glory to God. Minister Pam, any last closing comments?
I would just say pray without ceasing and continue to give thanks for everything. And, you know, God will preserve you until his coming. Mm-hmm. You know, your body, soul, and spirit, he'll preserve you blameless if you trust him and call upon him.
Yes, Lord.
You know, I want to close with this. The scripture, and let me I need to look this up real quick on Google while I'm before I quickly close the show out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's going to be scripture I want to leave you guys with is Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Nothing means nothing. Mm-hmm. So, guys, thank you for tuning in. And we're going to have another show in the next 2 weeks. So, Minister Horno, I'd love to have your husband on the show next time.
Okay.
You know, whatever topic we, you know, I know he's a powerful man of God. He's a powerful prayer warrior, and that would be a blessing.
Amen. I think you'll enjoy it.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, thank you for tuning in this week, and have a blessed 4th of July weekend. We will talk to you, and I guess we will, if God willing, we'll be speaking again in 2 weeks. God bless you.
God bless you.